You know, that's what I love about Embrace. We follow the Holy Spirit wherever He leads us. And I am so grateful for that. Well, I've had an interesting week last week. It was quite a week and got real sick. And so I'm believing for my voice to hold up today. I have a teaching this week and next week for the next couple of weeks. We have been in the middle of a teaching series the Lord has given me called True Worshipers. God is calling us to rise up into that category. See, there's worshipers and there's true worshipers. And Jesus defines them, and He says in John 4:23 and 24, He says, yet a time is coming and has now come. In other words, in each generation, there are worshipers and then there are true worshipers. And He says prophetically, a time is yet to still come when true worshipers will rise up again on the scene and they will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a Spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in the Spirit and in truth. Now, we're in the middle of this series. If you missed any of these messages, check out the podcast or online. Last time I taught, I talked about the secret place a true worshiper ascends to in worship under the shadow of Shaddai. And I explained what happens when you're in that place in worship. Today, I'm going to pivot and talk about what Jesus means when He says, in the truth. In other words, He says, those that worship must worship in the Spirit and in truth. And I'm going to kick off understanding what the Bible says about what does it mean to worship in truth. So bring up the lights a little so people can see. And please open your Bibles to Psalm 96. This first principle would be found there. Psalm 96. Holy Spirit. Yeah. You are here. Dios está aquí. Gloria a Dios. We're ready to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from the Passion. Follow along. Go ahead, sing your new song to the Lord. Let everyone in every language sing Him a new song. Don't stop. Keep on singing. Make His name famous. Tell everybody every day how wonderful He is. Give them the good news of the great Savior. Take the message of His glory and miracles to every nation. Tell them about all the amazing things He's done. For the Lord's greatness is beyond description, and He deserves all the praise that comes to Him. He is our King God, and it is right to be in holy awe of Him. Other gods are absolutely worthless. For the Lord God is Creator God, who spreads the splendor of the skies, breathtaking brilliance, awe-inspiring majesty, radiate from His shining presence. His stunning beauty overwhelms all whom come before Him. Surrender to the Lord Yahweh, all you nations and people. Surrender to Him all your pride and strength. Confess that Jehovah alone deserves all the glory and honor. Bring an offering and come celebrate in His courts. Come worship the Lord God wearing the splendor of holiness. Let everyone wait and wonder as they tremble in awe before Him. Tell the nations plainly that Yahweh rules over all. He's doing a great job. Nothing will disrupt Him, for He treats everyone fairly. Let the skies sing for joy. Let the earth join in the chorus. Let the oceans thunder and the fields echo this ecstatic praise until every swaying tree of every forest joins in, lifting up their voice of joyous praise to Him. For here He comes, the Lord God. He is ready to judge the world, and He will do what is right and can be trusted to always do what is fair. Amen. The first truth is this. This psalm speaks to the believer's public expression of worship. In fact, it tells us what God expects the world to see when His children worship. Which means this: Our worship must become our witness. In other words, it must become biblical. The tragedy in the church, in worship, is when the body comes together, we've dumbed down our expression to worship to our personal experience or our comfort instead of keeping it to the high watermark of the word. Now, we know that we're to be a witness in righteousness. We know we're to be a witness of his grace. We know we're to be a witness of his love. We know we're to be a witness of his justice and righteousness. But for some reason, the church has forgotten the most important witness, the witness of his glory. And that happens in worship. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then his marquee prize creation, man, made in his image and likeness, he raised up man and he raised up woman. And then he said, all of the earth is under your control. You're to subdue it. You're to lead it. You're in charge of it. And something happened that has been lost. Everything God created, the heavens were in awe because for the first time, a new sound of worship was established. A sound from a human. And that human led the earth and how to worship the king. And now the tragedy is that the most powerful expressions, day and night worship on display for all the world to see, is not in the church. It's in his creation. Psalm 96 and 11 and 12 says this, let the skies sing for joy, let the earth join in the chorus. In other words, in the original design, don't you see, when true worshipers worship, the design of God, the creation of God, is all of earth joins in. All the earth joins in, waiting to be led by God's people to be witnesses of his glory. The oceans thunder. The fields echo ecstatic praise. The swaying trees join in, lifting their song of joyous praise to him. And they mourn and they weep and they moan that the ones that God put on this earth to lead them, to show them, are no longer leading them. And God says, everything I've created worships me so that a human is without excuse. And yet in my church, when it comes to worship, God expected his church to model, to witness worship so that man would be without excuse. Loved ones, these waters are deep. Jesus says, those that worship me must worship me in the spirit and in truth. Jesus means that we need to make our worship biblical, not comfortable, not based on our experience. It is to be our primary witness of him. Now some say, well, if you're witnessing, you're bringing attention to yourself. No. Any place you witness him, do you bring attention to yourself? No. We're to be witnesses of righteousness. Where does the attention go? To Jesus. We're to be witnesses of his love. Where does the attention go? Jesus. We're to be witnesses of him in worship so the attention can go to Jesus. Do you realize your primary witness is in worship? What you do in this house is to be your witness. When Jesus was about to deliver power, he made it really clear why he was releasing power. You remember that in Acts 1:8? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And this is why. And you shall be my witnesses. This word means you, the world is to witness my power operating through you so they can see me. And then let me ask you, when they received power, what was the very first thing the people witnessed? Worship. Read it. We hear them in their own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Let me ask you, is your public expression of worship selective? Do you sit in a seat like this, worrying about anything, everything? In the most important time of your witness, or do you take this seriously? The truth is, the first truth is, that our worship must be our witness. Not when it's convenient, not when it's comfortable, not when it fits our model. Loved ones, is that the way our witness is in righteousness? Well, I'll only witness righteousness when it's comfortable for me. No, how are we to witness righteousness? What the Bible says is what we're to do. Not when it fits our model. Is that what it means in love? Well, I'll only love like people love me. But what Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, well, I'll decide when I want to do that. Power flows through witness. And worship is the number one expression of how much power you have flowing through you. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm giving you power to be my witness. I'm giving you power to be my witness. I'm not giving you power to do your own thing with it, but to be my witness. And what's the first thing they must witness is you worshiping me. So let me ask you, is your worship convenient, biblical or biblical? Is your worship convenient on your terms, what you like, what you experience? Or is it to the high watermark of the Word of God? Worship must move beyond our comfort. Worship must move beyond the most important place to learn obedience, loved one, is in worship. How do we think we can learn obedience in every other part of our life, but when it comes to worship, it's still the way we think it's to worship. It's still the way we like to see worship. It's still the things that make us comfortable in worship. Well, Pastor, but my public expression of worship is a very private thing. Did you just hear that? My public expression of worship is private. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Your public expression of worship is public. Like the rest of your life. Like the rest of your life is public for all to see. When you come into this house, what will others see you doing in worship? I'm not saying everybody has to scream. I'm not saying everybody has to shout or dance. But what I am saying is, it's game time. For the few minutes we're together in this house, the first truth is that your witness is worship, and your worship must be your witness. If your worship is not your witness, then your witness will lack the power necessary to change this world. Psalm 96 gives us a good outline of what does it mean to make our worship our witness. This is not a debate. In fact, don't come to me and say, well, Pastor, this is the way I worship. Good. What does this say you're to do in worship? That's all that matters. Just like every other thing it says to do. What does this say you're to do in worship? That's all that matters. Psalm 96, verse 9. Worship becomes your witness. Number one, what this models in verse 9 is publicly display what he has done for you. That's where your worship becomes your witness when you come into a space, a corporate gathering, and you publicly display what he's done for you. Psalm 96, 9 says, come, worship the Lord God, wearing the splendor of holiness. Let everyone wait and wonder as they tremble in awe before him. I am passionate about this topic, as you can see. This word, wearing the splendor of holiness, it means to publicly display everything God has done for you. That's how it begins. When I come into this setting and I'm undignified or whatever God has me do, it's because when I come before him, in that moment of worship, in that moment that I'm in, I'm no longer senior pastor, I'm no longer this mature adult that has this thing, a look, I'm no longer anything else other than I am his son, his beloved son, and I carry into me all of the entire witness of how he has made me holy, and I put it on display for all to see. That is what starts your worship becoming your witness. Everything he's done in your private life must become what you display publicly, loved ones. This place is growing, and you know why? Because people are witnessing worship. I knew there was more, and I'm finding it in this place. They're not afraid to witness, be a witness of the most important thing. In all the dynamics and all the ways, we have those that are watchmen on the wall, like Byron that just watches, and Mike and the others that are watching in the spirit what's happening. They're being witnesses of worship. We have others that are dancing before the Lord, but every one of you are to be a witness when you come into worship. Wear the splendor of holiness, everything he's done in your life, wear it for all to see. The second thing I want to say is worship is witness. when you make your witness your song. Now listen. Worship methodology is changing. It used to be verse, choir, verse, choir. Sing all the songs and then call it a day. But what does the Bible say? Psalm 91, verse 6. Go ahead. Sing your new song to the Lord. Do you know what you should be doing in worship? Singing a new song to the Lord. I don't know this song. I don't know those lyrics. I don't know. Well, you know, it's not, I can't enter in. You can't enter in? Go ahead. Sing a new song to the Lord. I didn't say that, but that's what the word says. With all the splendor of holiness, with all that he's done in your life, you, when you come in to the house of the Lord, your witness must be your song. You're to sing a song to the Lord. This team gives space intentionally for you to do that. That is not random. That's intentional. So you say, well, you only got through three songs. No, that was supposed to be 100 songs. That's how many people are here. Don't you see? It's to be your witness. It's not to be their witness. It's to be your witness. Let everyone in every language sing him a new song. Every language you got. You know Spanish and you know English, sing in English, sing in Spanish. You have a spiritual language, sing in the spiritual language. It doesn't say some languages, it says every language. Every means every. It's biblical. Don't stop, keep on singing. Look, make his name famous. You make his name famous when you sing him a new song. When a new song comes out of this group, oh, here, it is an invitation for you to sing a new song to him. The most beautiful expression of worship in witnessing worship is when this house breaks out in song, 100 different songs to him, and I guarantee you he can keep them straight in his head. He loves them. Tell everyone. Every day, how wonderful he is. Look, when you sing a new song from your heart, it activates you in the anointing of power to tell everyone every day how wonderful he is. Look, here is the I struggle with bad things that I don't want to do. So, one way I can do it is just focus on, I'm not going to do that bad thing. I'm not going to do that bad thing. I'm not going to do that bad thing. And then you make it 3 days, and then, oh, I did that bad thing. By doing that, you give it power. Instead, over here, I'm just going to do the good thing. I'm going to keep doing the right thing. That no longer has power. Yeah, but yesterday it had power. I don't care. Today, it doesn't have power. And where does that begin? Singing him a new song. Amen. Oh, no, wait. It can begin anywhere, brother. It can begin anywhere. No. Worship is the beginning. It's your testimony. It's your witness, loved ones. Sing him a new song, and when you do that today, you give no power to that from yesterday. It doesn't matter how bad you blew it yesterday. Just start now. Focus on doing the right thing today, not on trying not to do the wrong thing. And here's the thing. Sing that new song to the Lord. Sing it here. Birth it, and throughout your week, sing it. What it'll do, it will make his name famous. It will shift the atmosphere. And it will give you a confidence and a voice and a power to tell everyone how wonderful he is. And you will be able to give him the good news. Take the message of his glory and the miracles to all nations. Tell them about all the amazing things he does. Look, out of worship, his power grows. Here's the revelation. Thank you. The Bible says to do all things decently and in order. Thank you, brother. But when it comes to sharing what God has done in our life, we tend to do it out of order. The Bible says, before you share what God has done with others, you're to sing to him about what God has done for you. Do you? If you don't, you're out of order. It all comes from him. It's a sound that only you can make for him. Did he change your life? Yes. When was the last time you sung about it? Well, brother, I want to sing the songs on the screen. What's more important to him? Seriously. This is going to happen in this house. It's going to freak some people out, but it will happen. We will sing an entire worship set. No one will know any of the songs. Because it's not about the songs. It's about your witness. There won't be a set list. It won't even be a new song. They'll just start playing. Whatever comes out, comes out. We tend to take our worship, our witness of worship, and we dumb it down to our experience or our comfort instead of keeping it up to the high watermark of God's word. His power always follows witness. Last point I want to make. See, his power will never go farther than your ability to worship him. My heart breaks when you come into this house in this time and you're distracted. These people aren't perfect. They're going to make mistakes and they're going to do whatever they do. But that's not an excuse for you and me. Ever. No more than how another believer treats you in righteousness or how another believer loves you or how another believer operates in the righteousness or justice of God or how another believer demonstrates grace. You are to be a witness of that to the world. The last part I just want to share tonight is worship becomes your witness when you surrender your pride and strength. Psalm 96:7, surrender to the Lord Yahweh, all you nations and people. Surrender to him all your pride and strength. Here's the thing. Each of us must lay down our pride to learn it. This text is speaking of surrendering pride and strength in worship. It means becoming undignified before him. Everything that I do, I don't do for you. I do for him. And I'll be even more undignified. Whatever he wants, I'll do it. I don't care. It's my witness. God is calling the true worshipers back into the church. Those that move from just being witnesses of his righteousness, that move from just being witnesses of his grace, that move from just being witnesses of his love, that move that for just being witnesses of his right, of his justice, to being witnesses of his glory. The truth of worship is that he's calling the church to be the witnesses of his glory. And his glory only falls to those that will witness it. Did you hear me? Lord, I want your glory in the house. Will you be witnesses of it? He's watching. If you're not going to be witnesses of it, you're not going to see it. What happens when its glory falls? Whew. He wants those that will honor him with their witness and worship. So honor him with their witness and worship that he can come and be all that he once was in the garden. He's looking for a people to lead again his entire earth. The earth is filled with his glory, and the earth joins in on the choir, on our singing. Don't you realize that was the original design? He said, the earth, subdue it. It's yours. Lead them. And a sound broke out that was never in heaven before on the earth of worship to him. It was a sound that was created that honored and glorified God. It joined the heavenly choirs, but it was a new sound only found here because he gave us a unique voice. He gave us a unique testimony. The sound of the oceans. Humble yourself before him. Humble yourself. The truth about worship is this. The first truth, it must become our witness. Who will go before me, says the Lord? Who will go for me? Who can I send so that the world can bear wit, can see my church, witness my glory, so that they will be without excuse? The earth mourns the lack of worship, public expressions of praise according to God's word. God has brought us to become true worshipers. Those that worship in the truth. Let's stand. There's a song we're to sing, Kyle. Lead us in it. Church.
My heart is yours.
Let's make this public declaration. My worship will be my witness.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it all.
Declare that my worship will be my witness. I want to invite you to declare that to him as we sing all over this place. Just say that to him.
You as a sea upon my heart, as a sea.
Oh,
there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave, and many waters cannot quench this love.
You won't relent until